Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm good. It's fine day in London. Weather's fine. As I always start every single podcast recording, letting everyone know what the weather is like. It's a Wednesday evening as you're listening to this, if you're up nice and late for that particular drop. That kind of hypebeast style audio drop from the Abronjman and Stakhanov union. It's weird, isn't it? That doing this podcast, we've been doing this podcast for about 6 months under lockdown, at a time where no one can actually visit Japan. So for anyone still listening, who is still dreaming of their dream holiday in Japan, next April, next May, or whenever you're going to be making it, like, thank you for sticking with us, because I mean, Chris, you're a charismatic guy, I have my moments every 6 months. So I'm hoping at least at one point during this last 6 months, I've entertained someone with something I've said. Thank you for sticking with us, because we know that you guys aren't going to Japan anytime soon. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight, according to the government. Although they are doing those weird kind of business bubbles for people in Singapore and New Zealand and things. That's supposed to be in the offing.
Yeah, I still don't know when they're going to open the doors and let people in. There was talk of them letting Chinese and Korean folks in September, but that hasn't really materialised. So yeah, I don't know what to believe anymore. And obviously a lot of you guys have been asking, when are the doors opening? When is travel a thing again? But I don't know. And if I was to guess, I would say, I think probably before the end of the year, but we're talking November, December, potentially. Let's put on a bet. Let's put a bet on it, Pete. It's a gambling podcast.
I think it's going to be February.
I think it's going to be December because... I think it's going to be November. Because...
Really?
Two reasons. One...
Why?
The country's going to be obliterated in terms of... The economy's taken a nasty hit, and travel and tourism is a really big part of Japan's economy in the last few years, given that the number of tourists coming in has gone from 8 million like 10 years ago to 30 million this year. So it's a big drop, and it's affecting a lot of businesses and a lot of people. And the second reason is, there is a second reason. I don't know where I was going with that. It's just one reason, money.
You love a list. You're such a YouTuber, Chris. You have to have a list. It's got to be like an odd number. You're pathetic, honestly.
Six reasons Japan is good. I know what it is. I've got the second reason.
Right. Okay, good.
Christmas. I think they're going to want people to come over for Christmas, enjoy some KFC, Christmas fried chicken. Mm. Everyone will be happy ever after. Probably. But I also suspect that I do think that it's a difficult one. And I think if there is a second wave around winter, then all those plans will go down the pan, and your February prediction may bear fruit. That's my thoughts on it all.
Well, you sort of look at how obviously London's curve is going back up and a lot of other places. So it's almost not even about what Japan's doing. It's about what your country's doing to combat the coronavirus and Britain well, certainly England anyway, the powers that be seem to be duty bound to get people back into the offices because to reverse the tanking of the economy against all the best scientific advice, and so all of the grown up countries who are being quite careful, like your Germanys and places like that, they will probably be allowed into Japan and the British. Probably not. But yeah, it would be an interesting political decision to make because obviously Shinzo Abe is abdicated. He's out, so the people who come in will be having to deal with one of the worst financial constrictions or contractions in some time.
I'm disappointed. I've not seen that pun anywhere. Abdicated. Just at the front of every newspaper in Japan.
Yeah.
Why didn't we have
Damn
that?
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a difficult one. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, to be honest, in a weird kind of way. But yeah, it's been an odd year. The only upside I can find, I think, is that more people have watched Journey Across Japan. I've been getting loads of comments recently from people that have used Journey Across Japan as a way of like experiencing Japan in a way that you can from your own sofa. And I never would have imagined when I did it 2 years ago, cycling 2,000 kilometres across Japan in that nightmarish manner, that a lot of people would use it as like a sort of bizarre mini holiday for free from your sofa. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
It's the only good thing to come out
True.
Of it. But in other good news, though, for the Abroad Japan Empire, the merchandise is back on sale after a six-month hiatus of no merchandise. Did I ever give you any merchandise, Pete? I realised, did I ever give you a shirt for Fuck Sake or Like a Magic?
Didn't get a Sake shirt, didn't get any shirt. I do a few podcasts and I wear, and I've actually in the past bought merchandise, but I thought, you know what? Chris could have supplied me with a For Fuck Sake top, but he didn't.
It's because it's in my defence, and there isn't much of a defence, because it's all handled by the company. I don't actually have any stock myself. Oh, if I had some, probably, maybe I would give you some, but I probably wouldn't.
This is like the Football Ramble book. I don't have any copies myself.
Give me
I
a free book.
Months writing that bloody thing.
Give me a Football Ramble book, even though I don't know what football is. But what I will say is the reason I stopped selling the merchandise for a time is I had loads of people just make kind of counterfeit copies. There was loads of like For Fuck Sake shirts appearing all over the internet with like kind of weird versions of my design, and it kind of riled me and it got me angry, and I just thought, why do I bother selling merchandise? But then like over the past few months, loads of people have been asking about it, and so it's back up again. And this time I moved it to Teespring, another website. So for those of you wondering where you can find Abroad Japan merchandise, go to Teespring and just type in Abroad Japan or Abroad Japan Teespring on Google, and it should come up.
Lovely.
It's cool though. I love those designs. We made them like 2 or 3 years ago in the run up to Natsuki the movie, and I think they've still stood the test of time, but we desperately need some more designs, and I don't know what we can put on there. I'd love to get a Pete Donaldson design on. Any ideas? What could you have?
Talk to my effing agent. I don't actually have an agent anymore. He stopped being an agent. So yeah, you can't talk to my agent. I can't talk to my agent.
Oh,
he's in the south of France. He's given up.
Oh, boy. Lucky agent.
Are there any agents out there?
But yeah, I'm open to ideas, guys. If you have any designs you'd like us to include on the Abroad Japan merchandise website, let us know. Open to ideas. Mm. Now, we turn our attention to Story of the Week. This is our new segment that's been going on the last month, where we read out a story from one of you guys, and it is from Leo from Canada. And it begins, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I've been watching the channel since its early days and thoroughly enjoyed it. I want to tell you about a story that happened last year on my trip to Japan in September of 2019. I stumbled across the podcast about a week before leaving for my trip and immediately began binge listening to get as much knowledge in as possible before leaving. On my second day in Tokyo, I got to the episode where another listener had warned about a cult that targets foreigners and asked them to join them for a meal or to pray. What a cult. I didn't think much of it, as most solicitors are turned away by my 6'5", 260-pound frame, even in my home country. Nonetheless, 4 hours later, while walking out of the Tokyo Metropolitan Building, I was greeted by two old ladies who were curious about the embroidered Astro Boy on my shirt. The conversation quickly shifted from 'cool shirt' to 'get on the train with us.' Remembering my training, I politely refused and said I had to meet friends at a non-existent dinner and went about my way. Thank you guys for keeping me safe. Yours truly, Leo from Canada. Now, the question is, was that a cult or was that just a nice couple of ladies that Leo turned down? They were just curious about his shirt. What have we done, Pete? Are all foreign tourists going to assume that every interaction with a stranger is now some sort of cult as a result of this podcast? That would be very sad.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to make it sound very... it just makes me giggle at, like, you don't want people to be very cynical, but you also don't want people to be in a situation where they get into people's cars and vans and stuff like that. Get on the bloody train is a little less awful.
Get on the train.
Say, but get on the train.
I mean, the closest I've had, I remember the first time I was in Hokkaido in Sapporo with Natsuki. Natsuki went off to get a cigarette. Surprise, surprise. Mm. And I was on a bench feeding some pigeons, like you do. This old lady came and sat down. She's very nice. She spoke English very fluently. And I was like, oh, this is a lovely interaction. And then slowly but surely, she removed a pamphlet from her handbag and placed it in my hands, and it was like, let's enjoy Jesus in Japan or something. I don't know what it was. It was some sort of interesting sect of Christianity that I'd never heard of, and she was trying to wheel me off somewhere away from Natsuki. Natsuki could have just returned from his cigarette break to find me gone and the pigeons munching on the last few crumbs of bread. But it does happen. It does happen. But it is rare. It is rare. So don't worry. If people come up to you and start chatting with you, don't fear the worst. It's probably not a cult. But do get worried if they coerce you onto getting on a train, which is a pretty bold move. Why do they want to get on a train?
Didn't you tell me quite early in this sorry debacle, the Bronze Man podcast, that apparently Jesus was buried in Jesus, you know, met his end, so to speak, his eternal end in Japan. And, you know, Jesus' body can be found in Japan. That's what I've been hearing, Chris.
In Shingo, in Aomori. There's a little village where,
exactly.
I mean, the story goes that Jesus didn't die on the cross. His brother Iskiri, a brother that no one knew about, apart from on this little plaque in North Japan, his brother took his place on the cross, and Jesus went to Aomori and died in Aomori. And there's a little grave with a giant cross on it, and there's a tablet donated by the Israeli embassy in Tokyo, clearly humouring the people of Shingo. It's all written in Hebrew as well. I couldn't read it, but some of my viewers tried to translate it for me. I think, it's a rather interesting place, and there's a video on that called Jesus Died in Japan. Go and check that out. We should have gone there. That's, I would love to get your thoughts on it. I think it's right up your street as a mystical...
What was Jesus' brother called?
Iskiri.
I mean, that sounds very Japanese, doesn't it?
It's all very suspicious.
Jesus' Japanese brother.
It's all very suspicious.
Interesting. So,
but if Jesus were around today and he was in Japan, Pete, he would be able to take advantage of a free hotel that's come up in Tokyo this week.
Oh, got some news. Crib for him.
Exactly.
No outhouse for him.
It would be a wonderful hotel in
Tokyo.
There
is room at the inn.
There is room. There's too much room, unfortunately. One hotel in Tokyo this week, called the Hotel New Shohei, it's in the centre of Tokyo near Yotsuya Station, has announced that you can stay in the hotel, and it is a nice hotel, for absolutely nothing. There's only one caveat, and it's a pretty good caveat. All we've got to do is go online on your social media and shout out the hotel with a glowing review, and that's it, and you get a free hotel room. That's amazing, isn't it? From Monday to Friday... You can go in there and it's all yours. And you even get a complimentary plate of mackerel sashimi upon your request as well. And there's a little photo there, Pete. Check out that photo. It's a mackerel. What do you think? Is this a good idea?
I think it's fantastic. Where was I? Was I in Fukuoka? Might have been in Fukuoka. Might have been Kitakyushu. I stayed in a place called Hotel Beer. And it was called Hotel Beer because you got a free beer as you entered. She went,
"That's amazing.
Do you drink beer?" I was like, "Yeah." And she just gave me a token for a cold beer whenever I wanted. Between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
That's amazing.
So yeah, there's a little bit of that in there. But obviously, we talked about hotels that are free to people who want to. There was another. That was in Fukuoka as well, wasn't it?
$1 hotel.
Where
yeah.
you stayed in the $1 hotel for $1, you could stay in there, but you had to be agreed to be filmed in your hotel room for the whole time. So yeah, it's all a bit weird, isn't it? It's all a bit odd.
Well, for that one, you had to have a live stream of your stay at the hotel, and you paid $1. But you'd had loads of people knowing where you are. And I think you and I actually discussed doing it and thought about going in there and making a video. But then it kind of dawned on us that everyone would know where we were at that exact moment in the exact hotel in Fukuoka, which is a little bit sketchy. Mm. I don't know how popular that was. Don't know if it really worked after all. Oh, and the reason they did it,
it was
ad revenue. Remember, they said that... the idea was they would get ad revenue from people watching the videos of you in the hotel, yes. and thus the ad revenue would cover your stay, which probably could. If it gets like 100,000 views, that's probably enough to cover the stay of one guest. So need to check that out again.
Let's make it clear, it never did. It never did. I think 30,000 was the amount that was the most amount, and it was only on one video. And it might even have been the one where a woman is staying, I think. But they didn't make any money out of it. I think they also got hacked as well.
Oh, God.
I think somebody hacked the YouTube page. So, but then I think he wrestled it back off them, and everything was fine again. But I do worry about that man's business acumen.
There's a lot of PR around hotels trying to find interesting and quirky ways to promote themselves. There was another hotel.
Robots. Last dinosaurs.
Year, we've had robot dinosaurs. Yeah. Last year we had a hotel near Haneda Airport where you get like a cockpit of a plane, like a flight simulator style cockpit in your room, just sitting there that I think you can play with.
Speaking of flight simulators, I played Microsoft Flight Simulator yesterday.
In Tokyo.
Since I can't travel to Japan, I took off from Tokyo Haneda in a sort of Cessna-looking bad boy, and I flew for the best part of 20 minutes and then mashed it into Mount Fuji. Thank you very much. Good night.
Of course he did.
The dream.
That's the only thing people ever seem to enjoy doing on Flight Simulator, just crashing planes into things. Still, Fuji's an interesting place to land it. It's funny, when you going back to the beer hotel, reminds me of a place I got my hair cut last year. Not too far from this hotel, the Hotel New Shore here, near Yotsuya. There's a place, I think, called Beer and Hair, because you've got to have beer in the name if you've got beer at your restaurant, hotel or shop. And the idea was you could sit, have your haircut, and have a glass of craft beer. What do you reckon on that? Craft beer, haircut, is it a good combination?
Most West End, or certainly most high-end hairdressers will give you a glass of whatever you want, be it whiskey, be it a cup of coffee.
Really?
That's what usually happens in Britain. Yeah, have you not? Yeah, I guess you haven't had your haircut in Britain for a little while, but yeah,
I have not.
Pretty much every male salon seems to want to give you put a glass of whiskey in your hand for some bloody reason. not a clue bloody why. Because you're usually getting it done during the day. It's like, mate, I don't come here to have a nice quiet drink while a man cuts my hair and has forced awkward conversations about my life.
Oh, well, I feel the beer and hair salon is a lot less special now, knowing that that is done widely in the UK. That's a shame. There again. I felt a little bit uncomfortable having a nice glass of beer next to some hair that was being cut.
You don't want it, because they'll sometimes give you a cup of coffee, and I'll have a nice latte or something, but then hair gets in it, doesn't it? So you're just having a terrible time
first
drinking
world
hair
problems,
and latte.
Pete. First world
that.
Problems.
First world problems. First world problems.
It reminds me of... we're just going off on a tangent about hair now, ladies and gentlemen. Reminds me of when I was doing that cat documentary a few years ago. We went to this cat cafe, right? And there must have been about 40 cats. And you can sit there with the cats and have a spaghetti bolognese. And it just felt like the worst place to have that, sitting surrounded by like 30 cats molting everywhere with your pasta.
A warm room.
Who thought that was a good idea? Why is that a thing?
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough. I wouldn't care for that kind of thing.
But no, it's sad that hotels have reached this point of desperation, to be honest. I mean, I've been to Tokyo a couple of times in the last 6 months, and the hotels are very quiet and very cheap at the moment. This is the next level. Free hotel Monday to Friday, Hotel New Shore here. I don't know how long they're going to keep it up, but you've got to go there, and when you do check in, you just request the free room plan, It'd be a shame if you missed out on that. The free room plan, get your mackerel, get your plate of mackerel, and enjoy your free room. It's a four, I think it's a three what or four if, star I mean, hotel, so nice hotel.
So what if you agree to do the social media, but then what if you've only got like a couple of followers, or I don't know, is there, do you have to have certain numbers? Do you have to be providing a certain amount?
I mean, yeah, that's quite the curveball, isn't it? You've got to have at least 20 friends on Facebook to get your free stay. I don't
oh, really?
Know.
Okay, well, that's doable. Yeah,
I've just made that up. It doesn't
would
matter.
Would you get a suite?
Do you get
loads
a suite?
Of followers on Twitter. Would you get a suite?
Yeah, depending on the number. Are. I mean, this is quite a popular thing, a popular topic amongst like influencers, isn't it? A lot of influencers try and sneak their way into hotels and places for free. They like email them ahead and say, look, yeah. I've got 2,000 Instagram followers. If you let me stay for free, I will give you invaluable publicity free of charge. And many of the hotels just say, piss off, go
piss
away.
Off. that's what they should, really. I've got a few sort of mates who are kind of in the influencer game, but they've not really got the numbers. But sometimes they'll just do like product endorsements for products they want to be endorsing, rather than the stuff they're actually getting paid for or getting free product for, and doing like fake, effectively endorsing something they're not getting paid for. It's very bizarre behaviour.
Influencers are just terrible individuals. I just realised, am I an influencer?
Oh, yeah, Pete? That.
Am I
influencer?
An influencer? I don't know.
Sounds like it, mate. Sounds like it.
We're all influencers in this new, brave new world. But yeah, I don't think there's any prerequisites. I just think they want the free publicity. And the idea is you go online, you shout out Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We stayed in the Hotel New Shore here for free. It was glorious. We got some free mackerel and a view of the Tokyo Tower. Go and stay there. And that's all they want. And I think that's a good idea. Like, rather than just shutting the hotel entirely, like one of my favourite hotels did in Sendai, they're at least getting some free publicity out of it. Whether they'll break even or not remains to be seen. And on the subject of accommodation, radical and interesting accommodation in Japan, there's a hotel that's opened, or rather a castle that's opened its gates and allow people to stay overnight in the town of Ozu in Ehime Prefecture, near the town of Matsuyama, one of my favourite cities in Japan. And it's a really beautiful castle, and Ozu Castle. And the town in question used to be called the Little Kyoto. It's a very beautiful, picturesque town in Shikoku. But like a lot of rural towns in Japan, numbers have been dropping terribly. The population's dived from 79,000 people in 1955 to 42,000 in 2020, like a lot of areas around rural Japan. And what they've tried to do is turn the castle into a place where people can stay. It's not cheap. It is about $9,000 per night for two guests. But you do get your own kimono. You do get a warrior outfit if you so desire. When you arrive to the sound of trumpets, shell trumpets, waving flags, and even a gunpowder squadron. You'll also be treated to a local traditional dance performance that's registered as an important intangible folk cultural property of Japan. And the dinner is served in one of the four preserved turrets in the castle, followed by a moon viewing session with sake drinking and poetry recitation. What do you think about that, Pete? $9,000. Are you going to stay in a castle?
I insist on this kind of treatment whenever I stay anywhere. If I stay in a Holiday Inn, I insist on a gunpowder demonstration.
Moon viewing.
And a moon viewing party with sake. I just insist that's just something that I can't do without. It's the little things, Chris. Like looking at the moon.
Gunpowder and the moon. Beautiful. I think it's a great idea. I do.
What a magical thing, though.
I think it's a beautiful idea because castles are kind of, they're just, you know, they're tourist attractions, and many of them have been ruined. Osaka Castle, I don't know if you've been inside it, but there's like, it's not even a castle. It's just, it looks like a castle from the exterior, but you go in and there's like a gift shop and an elevator, and it just feels a bit wrong. There are some beautiful castles, like Ozu Castle and like the neighbouring Matsuyama City, which is one of my favourite castles, nestled on a mountain in the middle of the city. But it's a beautiful castle, and I would be tempted. The price is a little bit expensive for me. Clearly, they're aiming at higher paying guests and tourists, but I think it's a really nice idea, and I think it's quite inspiring seeing how these these sort of rural towns that have been affected by the population have resorted to doing kind of novel things like this. And it doesn't feel kind of cheap or tacky when you consider all these things they've thrown in. It feels like they're really trying to immerse you in the culture by having like locals dance and do a performance and having flags and gunpowder and moon viewing and sake. I think it's all the best things of the local area kind of brought together into one place. It's a really nice idea.
Drop them an email. Say, listen, knock a few grand off.
And I'll be down. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. It could be a good place for like a honeymoon, though. There you go. People,
yeah,
our listeners, always looking for a honeymoon idea. That's it. Ozu Castle. Get in there. Get some moon viewing. Get some sake. I've discovered tonight I can't say the phrase moon viewing. I keep saying moon viewing.
No.
Moon viewing.
I think it's a Pokemon, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. So there you go. If you want to stay for free in Tokyo, Hotel New Shore here. If you want to stay in a castle for not free, Ozu Castle in Ehime. Check them out, guys. Some interesting places there.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done and, you know, all of that stuff. I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email, or rather fax, from... Have we got a name on this one?
Rob
from the Netherlands. Hi there, Chris and Pete. Always love listening to your podcast, so thank you for doing them. My question is directed towards Chris. What is the one situation where you've felt most foreign or out of place since moving... to Japan. Also, I didn't forget about Pete. How are you doing? Thanks a lot.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Yeah, fine. I'm in a hot room wearing a jumper that's way too thick for this weather, quite frankly.
And that is why you need some Abroad in Japan merchandise. Nice, thin, like a magic shirt to soothe your skin. Mm, get it?
Definitely. Soothe your skin.
The time I felt most... foreign. I think it was when I started work at the school and we went into the assembly hall with the 1,200 students, the 120 teachers, and I went in and I realised I was the only white person in there, or the only non-Japanese person in there, and that was pretty trippy. I don't think I've ever had that. Mm. Like me standing amongst a sea of people, many of them staring at me because I was new to the school. It was very intimidating, and I won't forget that. And I didn't understand Japanese at the time, so the teachers were shouting something on stage. The students were... The Japanese schools are quite militaristic in the way they move around and treat students. Like, they all had to stand still in like perfectly formed lines. And it was really hot. It was the summer. We shouldn't have been in the hall in the first place. It was like a bloody sauna. But just all of those things combined, the heat, the kind of culture shock, the fact that I was the only one who wasn't Japanese in a sea of people in a gigantic room... All of those things were pretty intense, and that was when I felt the most out of place. It was pretty surreal. Have you ever had anything like that yourself, Pete, though, while you've been on your many travels to Japan?
No, I don't think I've been in many places. I think if you sort of like go off the beaten track a little bit, if you go to places that aren't quite as popular, I remember being in Nagoya in a big club kind of situation, and me and my mate Al were the only people who weren't South American.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big South American diaspora there for some reason, and there's this big bar that just had loads of people who were all South American, or Brazilian even Brazilian as South Americans go.
Yeah, that was, we talked about a few weeks ago, didn't we, the kind of Japanese Brazilian population that a lot of people don't know about. Lots of ethnic Japanese folks in Brazil.
Interesting.
But it's a strange thing, though, going back to the whole school hall thing. But I did get over it. It took a few months, but I got over it. It was quite intimidating, though. It was really intimidating. Got one from Caroline from Bury. Bury, the UK. Where's Bury, Pete? Bury.
I think it's pronounced Bury, but it's...
B-U-R-Y.
I don't actually know where it is, but they lost their football team quite recently. So it's
doesn't know anything about the town, but Bury. There's always football knowledge to be had. Greetings.
It's near Rochdale. I knew it was in that kind of like weird kind of middle place between kind of Leeds and Manchester, but it's not really. It's north of Manchester, so yeah, never mind.
A little bit of bonus.
It's near Manchester.
Bonus geography knowledge thrown into the podcast. Yeah, greetings, exactly. Chris and Pete, long-term listener and watcher of the channel. My question is about English, where English words are used that end up being out of context and funny. I was wondering, what do Japanese people think of Japanese kanji being used on Western products, such as Super Dry? Does it make any sense to them, or is it just as much of an oddity as English is for us? Or maybe it's something they wouldn't really come across. Love your podcast and channel. Keeps me entertained while working from home. Best wishes, Caroline. I mean, Super Dry, the characters on that, I remember translating them once and it came out as Hard Weather Company, which doesn't make a whole load of sense. But I often spend a lot of time finding English and making fun of it because it is hilarious and it is joyful. I did a video a few months ago about Decoration English. It's called Decoration English because it's used to decorate products and add a layer of prestige to them, right? Because if you've got English on, it looks cool for some reason. Whereas we do sometimes do that overseas, like Super Dry. Can you think of any other examples where we've done that, though, Pete? Can you think of any other?
Well, do you remember? There's loads of them. I mean, just things that. Not even kanji, just the names of places like Itsu and stuff like that.
So
what flip does that mean? Remember when Ariana Grande, my ex-girlfriend, Ariana Grande, I keep thinking I'm Pete Davidson on Twitter because I don't think he's on Twitter, so I keep getting abuse about Ariana Grande, and it's the same name.
It's the same.
She had some kanji put, and she, you know, she knows a little Japanese, and she had kanji tattooed on her hands, and it was like, it was meant to mean one thing, but it actually meant charcoal briquette machine or something. It meant like grill, meat grill or something.
It was, her album was called Seven Rings. I think she wrote Shichirin, wanted that in Japanese written on her arm, but they did it and it said small charcoal grill and she was ridiculed. She got a lot more heat in the West than she did in Japan, though. Like, the newspapers tore her to shreds, bless her. And but the Japanese fans and people in Japan were just like, oh, that's a shame, but don't give up. And it was sad because I think she said after that, I'm going to stop studying Japanese, and it put her off, and I think that was a real shame. That's the place where it goes wrong the most. Tattoos. People that don't do their research, I think. Japanese people have been amused by it. But I've yet to see many Japanese folks overseas making English, Japanese English gone wrong videos as I have, unfortunately, because it isn't as widely, it's not as common. We got one from Lady Brittany. Lady Brittany. Wow. I'll hand that over to you, Pete.
Enjoyable. Yeah, from Lady Brittany, we've got, future visiting Lady Brittany from US, best wishes and health, says at the end. My name is Brittany from the US, and I've been tuning into your YouTube channel and now podcast, thanks to my dear friend, who's so kind to invite me on a trip to Japan in approximately 2 years. Yippee! I'm enjoying learning more about what to see and explore in Japan as I make my preparations with my dearest friend. I'm enjoying the way that Lady Brittany is talking. Upon listening to one of the more recent podcasts, I had a sudden realization that the majority of the information and research I've come across has been through a men's perspective visiting Japan. Rarely have I heard a woman's perspective upon my research, especially a woman of colour, African-American descent. I have so many questions that I worry I might not get answers to, and I wonder if you have any friends that could give some insight as to what I might expect. Like, would children rush up to me to touch my curly hair? Is my curly hair going to be perceived negatively? Should I straighten it to try and blend in with the culture I deeply respect, despite the unknown I may have to face? I'm very excited to go and have a wonderful experience. Best wishes and help, future visiting Lady Brittany from the US. Enjoyable email. Enjoyable way of writing it.
Expertly read by yourself.
Thank you.
This reminds me of the story we had a few weeks ago from that chap, Christian from Norway. Remember, he was in a lift and some kid, and Christian had a lovely stylish beard, and some kid just jumped up on it and started yanking it down. Although I think he invited the kid, didn't he? He did invite the kid because the kid was gazing at his beard and he got down on his knees and let the kid
grab it,
fondle and play around with his beard. You're not going to get people touching your hair and doing anything like that. They might make some nice comments. They'll probably compliment you. But it's not like, I remember when I was in China, people there were a bit more full on. Like, they, rather than ask for a photo, they'll just come up and take photos and whatnot in a friendly way, admittedly, but quite full on. Whereas in Japan, people want to take photos and people want to talk to you, but they're a lot more reluctant or very shy about it. So I don't think you're going to have anything like that happen. I don't think there's any need to straighten your hair to blend in with the culture. Just be who you want to be, right? What are your thoughts, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I always recommend, we've had a few questions about this sort of thing in the Black Experience Japan. You can find them on Twitter, the Black X JP. Basically talk about, you know, people supporting black businesses in Asia or black owned businesses in Asia and stuff like that. And they've got a lot of people who are out in Japan and in other places, and they basically talk about what it's like to be African American or black in those, in the part of the world that we're talking about. And yeah, it's a real... Obviously, we would never be able to walk even a mile in those shoes because we're white. But they some of the stories and experiences are just really, really eye opening. So yeah, it's the Black Experience Japan. Just search them on Twitter. Well worth a watch.
Yeah, and one of my favorite channels from a black girl in Japan is Kimushi Cham. She's really down to earth, very good at Japanese, really awesome girl. I'll check out her channel, Kimushi-chan, Loretta. She's really awesome. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think you're going to have people touching your hair. So don't worry about it too much, Lady Brittany. Keep the stories.
That's mainly like white people in America and England. They seem to want to touch black people's hair. I've never really understood it, but pretty much all my black friends have been in an experience where they've been at parties where people just touch their hair. It's like,
really?
No one's touched my hair. My hair is I would say it's rather strange at times. Why is nobody touching my hair? I want people to touch my hair. God damn it.
If I were in a room with you now, Pete, I would be touching your swanky, stylish hitman facial hair. It does look rather dashing.
Give me a ruffle.
Attractive Colonel Sanders. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days, guys, to do it all over again on Sunday. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you then. Have a good one.
Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.